atmosphere that was here. You have to come. You have to come and share your story. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I will do that. So I'm here, and I'm really excited to be here. And so, yeah,
thank you.
And yeah, so I love that you recently changed your name to, I think, Restoration Church. So I think like maybe end of last year or last year sometime. I just think that's just amazing. And, you know, there's so much power in names. And I just really believe that, you know, even this year you're going to see restoration because you've proclaimed it as part of the name of your church. And however that may look, the restoration in all kinds of things, people have all kinds of journeys and different things. But, yeah, I just really believe that, you know, God is a God of restoration. And, you know, you will see that this year and in the years to come. And you've declared it. You've put a sign at the front. And we want to believe with you that, you know, our lives may be restored, or our friends or family may be restored as well. So as I was preparing this week, and yeah, I know it's a little bit different, as Pastor Adriano said, but like I am an artist, but I do speak as well. And I thought, why don't I just mix both of them? Sometimes I prefer to paint and let my wife speak, but today I'm going to mix them both. And when I was preparing, it was just this verse, and I just love the presence of God that was in this place this morning. Like, and I love it that, you know, it was all about Jesus. And, you know, I wouldn't want to be in a church and not be about Jesus, but like just everything, the songs, the prayer, you know, what you guys spoke out, all about Jesus. And, you know, I was reading in Psalm 36:5, and it's just such a simple verse. And it says, "Your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens." And we love camping. We actually, as a family, decided, you know what, because we're coming this way, let's go a bit further to Clayton Bay. We've been there before, and let's actually camp this weekend because, you know, the kids absolutely love it, and we love it as a family. And, you know, it just reminded me, we're outside, and we're just looking at the stars, and it's so incredible out here. Like, you know, in the city, like, I think they think the Southern Cross is the Milky Way, but they don't realize that there's, like, millions more of stars. Like, I was brought up in Keith in the southeast, and I used to go out at night and just go, oh, my goodness, like, just, it's so incredible. Anyway, it just made me think, like, this verse, that your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens. And when I look and I just can't see, I can't count how many stars are out there, I can't see the end of those heavens, I just think, God, you love us so much. And you know, whatever journey we're on at the moment, wherever we've come from, if you're sitting at the front, if you're sitting at the back, wherever it's your first time, I just want to say that God actually just loves you so, so much. Like, I was reminded this week when there was, apparently they found a new black hole out there. I don't know how they keep finding stuff, but they found a new one that potentially has like millions of stars, millions of suns in there. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe we've reached the end of the heavens, we've reached the ends of God's love, but then we find this huge galaxy or huge black hole that has even more millions of suns and stars. So I just wanted to bring that as I start this morning, that, you know, God's love is unfailing, and he's as vast as the heavens that we see at nighttime. So this morning I wanted to talk about actually my story of restoration. And it's funny because yesterday I was actually on the kayak, and I'm going to be real with you all today. Like, I was on the kayak, and I was just praying to God about this morning, and just, you know, like, just really wanted the Holy Spirit just to flow through me. And I said, thank you, God, for my story. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say, it's our story. It's our story. And I said, you know what? It is. You know, God has just done so much in me, and it's not all about me, and I don't want you to remember me. I want you to remember God and what he's done, and I'm hope this story can bring something, some restoration as well to here. So, and excuse me that I'll be sort of my back to you, but I'm going to do a painting for you this morning as well. So, let's start. So, we all start as a blank canvas. But you know, sometimes in life, it gets messy. Maybe not straight away, maybe through circumstances, maybe in life something happens and you feel like that it gets messy. You know, for me, I grew up in a Christian home, and I had great parents. I had like they loved me so much, and you know, we're in church every week, and I loved God, and like my upbringing was just, I feel like I had a really good upbringing, and you know, my parents really sowed into my life. They really made sure, you know, that God was part of it. You know, but at the age of, I guess, around 10, I remember like just saying to God, I said, you know, no matter what, no matter what, I'll never leave you. But like through circumstances, so I went through a marriage breakup like 20 or so years ago, and from that it really broke me. Like I had like depression, I had anxiety, I couldn't sleep at night, I didn't want to be around people, I was really struggled to be at work, I really struggled to just function, I guess. And like I felt like the joy that was in me as a child just kind of left me. And, you know, from that, like, because I was just so broken, I just didn't know what to do, and I was so lonely, and you know, as I said, I was brought up in a great family, and I never really heard that, you know, there was a marriage breakup in our family. Like, it wasn't really spoken about, and I felt, I guess, so guilty inside. I felt like that I failed my parents. You know, like I remember, like as a child, I remember that, you know, one of my dad's good friends actually decided to leave his wife. And like just the things I remember him saying, like we're originally from Switzerland, so I don't know what my accent is. Like I was born in Switzerland, grew up in the country, or grew up in Keith, then Adelaide, then Brisbane, Sydney. So I do have a mix of kind of accents, but you know, I remember him just saying things to him that I just thought, you know, didn't seem very nice. And I thought, is that what they're going to think of me? And so I did feel quite a lot of shame. I did feel that, you know, maybe I stuffed up and I didn't want to share any of that. And it's hard. And then from that, because I felt so lonely, and I was actually working at the airport, and I started just going to like my work parties, and then like they were always drinking and all that gear, and then I just like I was never into any drink at all, and like I remember when I was sick and as a child, and my parents were like, oh, have a bit of rum, that will make you better, and I'm like, no, I'm not touching anything. So I just didn't touch any of that stuff. And then but through these circumstances, I decided that, you know, I always felt like that I never kind of fit in. I always felt like that, you know, I heard all these speakers coming to church and they had these stories, and, you know, I was just this boy who rose up who grew up in church, and I didn't have this wild story, and I was like, you know, like there's not really a kind of restoration, I guess. And I got into drinking. And I started like drinking at my work parties and drinking just way too much. And like they were just so many just worldly things, like because I was hanging around them. And like I remember like, and you know, I guess it's not something to be proud of, but I remember one night like I just was like, you know, I have a goal of how many drinks I want to drink. And like, you know, what a silly goal. And you know, I won't say how much it was because I don't know, it's not a competition. But I had this goal and you know, I met that goal and like I just didn't know where I was going, and I just didn't care. I just didn't care what people think. I cared about my family, but I just didn't care about myself. And so like, yeah, like just this one night, like I remember like I drove into the city and I was like, you know, I'm all good, I'll drive back home. And so, you know, you go to go, everyone, and I just, you know, not in the right condition to drive. And thankfully, I had friends that were like, you know what, you're not going. They actually stole my keys and they didn't give them back to me till the next day. And I'm like, you know, we do need friends like that who look out for us. And I'm so thankful for them in that situation that they actually like, you know, caring for me. And, but, you know, I just got so desperate. I was still so lonely, and I realized that all these guys and girls, like they had it all together, and like, so I wanted to, as I said, I wanted to fit in, and I wanted to kind of, I'm sorry if I get paint on the ground, I'll clean it up after. Send me the cleaning bill. See the what, sorry? Yeah. And I just felt like they had it all together. But when I was going to these parties, I'm just like, you know what? They're just as broken as I was. They were going through maybe different things, but like, it was just, everyone was so open at these things that they would speak out and I'd be like, oh man, like, they're so down. And so, I realized that I wasn't so lonely. I realized that it wasn't all just me and me going through this stuff. And I remember I got two stories. One of them is they all used to smoke as well, and I never got into smoking. And not because I was like strong, or I was like, you know, I wasn't strong, I could have easily got into it. But I, at a young age again, we were actually camping at Easter with my family, and we were probably young teenagers. And I haven't shared this story before, but like, I hope it's we were camping, and there was all these reeds. And so like as kids are like, yeah, let's unpeel the leaves. And they were like kind of like the inside of a smoke. So you would get them like maybe that long. And then we were smoking these reeds. And like, you know, it's just a reed. I'm saying reed carefully. And my parents are like, oh, don't do that. You're going to get so sick. Like, you know, you shouldn't be smoking that. And I'm like, nah, it's all good. Like, they're just reeds. Like, and then anyway, that night, like with me and my friend, we were the sickest I've ever felt, I've ever remembered. I just messed up with my head and I just went crazy. And I went, you know what? I have no interest in smoking. And so from that like point, I never actually touched smoking. So, you know, that's the reason. If I hadn't done that as a kid, maybe I would have got into it. But that's kind of what happened. So the other story, and because we live close to Adelaide and you probably all have been on Rundle Street, and my daughter actually loves this story. And anyway, I got to a point where I was just so desperate. I got to a point where I wasted all my money and I just needed to have a drink. And anyway, I was walking down Rundle Street, like lonely as, trying to be cool. And I saw that there was money on the ground, and I'm like, that's it. There's money for me to go and buy a drink. I go to pick it up, and yes, you know, it's an art installation where there's all like money laid out on the footpath. And I just went, what are you doing, Tim? Like, just low point. And I just like, oh my goodness. So kind of went, oh yeah, no, I knew that. Like, so yes. But you know what? I looked happy on the outside. I tried to look happy like my workmates, but on the inside, I was actually just so broken, and I just wanted that joy back. And you know, sometimes like this canvas, it gets so messy, and you just think like, I can't get it back. Like, there's nothing I can do about this canvas to get it all clean again. Like, and. You know, I just want to talk to you this morning about, you know, what Jesus has actually done for me and what Jesus went through. Like we talked about, we sang about the communion. We talked about what Jesus did on that cross. And I just want to go give you a bit of a list of some things that Jesus actually went through when he was on that cross. And why did he do it? And we talked about it earlier. He did it all for us. He did it all for you. And like, it doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter what we've gone through. I believe that Jesus, when he was on that cross, he was thinking about you. He knew your name. He knew that, as you mentioned, that the hairs on our head, or Luke, I think, said it. And he knew he was there, and that's the reason why he did it. Because he had you, he had me in our minds. And I believe that if I was the only one on this earth, or if you're the only one on this earth, I believe that he would have still done it. Because, like I said before, his unfailing love is as vast as the heavens. And he loves every single one of you. He loves his children. And you know, so what has Jesus done for us? You know, he sweated blood knowing what he was about to go through. He was denied by one disciple, and he was betrayed by another for like the price of land, which he never actually got to see. And then at his arrest, all his disciples left him. He was flogged multiple times. He was spat on. He was accused of blasphemy. He was punched and slapped. In the face while he was blindfolded. You know, he was bound, he was taken for the leaders for trial. He was abused and he was mocked by the majority. He had a crown of long thorns placed on his head. He was nailed to the cross. He was tempted to stop everything. He could have stopped everything. But like he said, like Pastor Sue said, he chose to go ahead with it because he had our names on his mind. He was so badly bruised, the Bible says, and cut that he could hardly be recognized. You know, I see like paintings of Jesus. You know, it's great artists who have done great paintings, and pictures of Jesus just doesn't quite depict what he went through. And I know that we can't have the kind of paintings that shows his face and like in the public spaces, because it was so gruesome. It was so full on that they just couldn't recognize his face. You know, when he died on that cross, when he took his last breath, and his last words was, it is finished. And at that moment, as Jody spoke about in the communion, like the curtain in the temple was just split down the middle, and the curtain was completely broken, where that was where the priest would go, and the priest would go behind the curtain, and once a year people would bring sacrifices and or animals to be sacrificed, and then that was their way that they would be forgiven from their sin. That was their way that they were restored and there was redemption. But Jesus knew that this couldn't keep going. Jesus knew that this wasn't like, this was just a temporary thing. This was a temporary thing. He brought the law to help. And then at that moment when the curtain tore in half, it was finished. Everything was finished. That law was covered by the blood of Jesus in that moment. And you know, that curtain was no small curtain. Like it was said that it was quite a wide curtain, and it would take many men to move that curtain. So it wasn't just like, you know, a curtain like this that we maybe had to rip with our hands. It was the power of that moment. It was the power of God just like deciding that is finished, which was such a powerful moment. It was so powerful that that in that moment, and I absolutely love this in the Bible, and I'm just going to read it out. The earth shook and the rocks split apart, and tombs opened, and believers who had died also rose again, left the cemetery, and walked back into the city and appeared to many people. What a moment if you lived in that time and you saw that. I don't know, I'm not going to go in detail because I'll probably say the wrong thing, but like just people raising up, who how long had been in the grave, raising up, walking back into their hometowns, people recognizing them, seeing many people. And I really believe that was a picture of an actual picture of what Jesus did for us. So a short-term picture of that he's died on that cross, and then one day, as we believe in him, one day we will raise up again. We will raise up and to be with Jesus in heaven. And he wanted to show that the power that couldn't happen, that no human could actually do that. The power of him dying on that cross is one day is going to give us a chance to raise again for him. Because, you know, the penalty of sin is death. And he has promised us that he will give us life again. It's a picture of his redemption. It's a picture of restoration. And that he loves you so much. So what does Jesus mean to me? You know, he has forgiven all my wrongs. He has healed my broken heart. He has given me life and joy, an inner joy, not just an exterior one. He has freed me from anxiety and depression. You know, I remember, like, I hadn't told my family for over a year what was going on in my life and what was happening. And I remember just getting some counseling with our pastor, and you know, lots of people were praying for me, you know, wanted to see me come back to God, wanted to see me restored. But it was one night, and he didn't even pray for me, but I knew there was lots of prayer out there, and he just read a verse, and he read from the Bible, and he just read it to me, and there was so much power. And I just want to read it to you this morning, and this is what freed me from anxiety. This is what freed me from depression. And it's in Matthew 6, and it says, "So I tell you, don't worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food, drink, and clothes. Doesn't life consist of more than food and clothing? Look at the birds. They don't need to plant or harvest or put food in barns, because your heavenly Father feeds them. And you are far more valuable to him than they are." I'm speaking this over your life this morning as well. "Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Of course not. I was so worried. I was so anxious. It did not help. And why worry about your clothes? Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, who was a king in all of his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't he more surely care for you?" And he says, "So don't worry about having enough food or drinking or drink or clothing. Why be like the pagans who are so deeply concerned about these things? Your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. And he will give you all you need from day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." And like that just seemed like a simple verse. Seemed like something that, yeah, I already knew, I already read, I've read the Bible, and I would have seen that. But in that moment, there was power, because I believe that the Word of God, there's power in it. There's power in the Word of God. Like, sometimes we feel like the Bible is not relevant anymore. Sometimes, you know, in this society, it's like we don't need the Bible, we don't need God, we don't need Jesus. But I believe that it's more important than it ever has been in the past. That the Bible, yes, it was written 2,000 years ago, but it is so powerful. And I say that because the next morning I woke up and I just didn't feel any anxiety. I didn't feel any depression. I was actually hungry. I wanted to eat. And I wanted to be around people again. I wanted to get back to church. All these things were restored in my life over that one night. And yes, I had, you know, a whole year of like crying myself to sleep and just feeling so down. And so I know that in that moment, God healed me. And I believe that God wants to work in people's lives again also this morning, and that He can heal you. And no matter what you've gone through, that He loves you and He wants to heal you. He wants to touch your heart. Because if He can do it for one person and He's done it for millions, He will do it for millions more if we give Him the opportunity. Because sometimes I look back and I just feel like there's no way that I can get out of this. And then I just feel like that, you know, I've gone too far or I've done too many things that God is not happy with. But I know that God helps us. I know that He, you know, He wants to be with us. He wants to restore us. And it wasn't a day that I wouldn't think about it. And now I almost feel like that it never happened. You know, Jesus, He wants to be your healer. To release you from pain. Got sticky masking tape. He wants to heal your sickness. He wants to free you from bondage. You know, He has forgiven you and He wants you to help forgive yourself. You know, I had to go through a journey of forgiving myself. And then once I went on that journey, I then had to go on the journey to forgive others. I had to forgive other people who really hurt me in that situation. I had to forgive the other guy, and you know, and I just said to God, I said, I can't forgive. I can't forgive. This is unforgivable. But the Bible says that we have to forgive, and I knew that I had to forgive. And so I prayed to God. I said, you know what? I need your help. I can't do it. And it was such a journey, and sometimes things just take time, and I don't kick yourself because, you know, you feel like you might be weak because you can't forgive. But with God's power, He's going to help. And I know that at the point where I said, you know what, God, I forgive him. You know what, God, bless his life. Because you don't bless someone's life. Our pastor said it last week. You can't ask to bless someone's life if you haven't forgiven them. And I just said, bless them. And you know, if I bumped into him today, I'll be like, how's it going? You know? And it wouldn't be like, you know what you did, da, 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 da. It's just like, be blessed. Might use other words, I don't know. But and that's where I knew that I'd forgiven and that God had done something in my own heart. You know, He wants to show greater love than you've ever known. And I don't know what your journey might be and whereabouts you are in it, but I know that like as you lay your head tonight and you sleep, there'll be such a peace in your room, on your bed. And I just believe that for your life, that God will be there, that He will bring peace. I know at the start of the year, Asher was like, our little boy was really sick and we just didn't know what to do. And then it got so bad that we had to call an ambulance. And like in that moment, like I just saw him go away in the ambulance and I just didn't know what to do. And like I just prayed. I prayed to God. I went to the Word of God. I said, I just need you. I don't know. Just help me. And in that moment, like I just felt the peace of God. And I can sense it in this room this morning as well. The peace of God coming into situations. And you know what? I thought I wouldn't sleep that night. But the peace of God was just in my room. And I just fell asleep and I said, it's going to be okay. Tomorrow will be all good. And I'm believing that for you this morning. You know, it's through his name that all things are now freely accessible. God doesn't remember our past, our hurt, our weakness. He only remembers the blood of Jesus. You know, the Bible says that he washes us whiter than snow. And maybe, you know, you've got just so much guilt and you feel like that, you know what? He will never love me because of all that. But he says that he will wash us as white as snow. And even though that we may remember the things, and I believe that, you know, he's not taking this story away from me. I believe like he uses our mess. And you might have heard this before. He uses our mess and he creates a message from it. And that's what he's done with me. And that's why I wanted to share that story with you today. And the Bible says that we are washed, we are cleansed, we are whiter than snow because what he did on that cross. You know, after the death of Jesus, 3 days later, he miraculously, thank you, rose again and he left the tomb. But Jesus, God, he only remembers what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus is alive today in heaven, and the same miraculous power is still active and working through us on earth. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. The Bible says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. I was healed from an encounter with God. And there's many stories in the Bible where people were healed or set free from just having one encounter with God. And I think of Paul, who kind of wrote most of the New Testament. Not all of it, a lot of it. And he was a crazy man. And he was out to kill Christians. He was out to persecute Christians. He was against God. He did not care. He just wanted no Christians. And on his way to somewhere, can't remember where, doesn't matter. He was on a journey somewhere and a light hit him and then he fell asleep for like 3 days. And his life, he had an encounter with Jesus. And we don't know what happened in that moment, but he had an encounter with Jesus that changed him forever. And then he spoke about God. He spoke about the Word. He wanted people to come to know Jesus because of one encounter that he had with him. Maybe if everyone could stand. And I really want to pray for, first I want people to know him. And maybe you did know him at one point. Maybe you've never known him. Maybe this is the first time you've been in church. Good job for coming. That can be a hard thing in itself. Maybe you've been coming to church for years. Maybe you've used to be a believer, but you've walked away from God. And today I believe there's going to be restoration in your hearts. I believe as we come back to him today, he wants to restore your heart. He wants to heal you. You know, when Jesus was on earth, before any of this happened, He walked on earth. He physically was here for 30 so years. And he needed help. He needed people to lead. There was so much to do. So he walked down the beach or goes to like the tax shop, and he invited people to follow him. You know, in that one moment, and the Bible doesn't talk about the people who potentially said no. And, you know, if my theology is wrong, tell me. But it doesn't say anything about those who said, no, I don't want to follow you in this moment of being disciples or followers. So he asked these people. And the Bible talks about the people who said yes. You know, you got fishermen at their job, working away, catching fish, professionals. Will you follow me? Drop the nets. Yes, I'll follow you. You've got corrupt tax guys stealing people's money, doing the wrong thing. People hated the tax collectors in those days. You know, we love the tax collectors now. Apologies if there's ATO people here. But they hated them because they were so corrupt. They would steal people's money. They would take too much money. And yet he goes to this booth or whatever it was. Will you follow me? And that might have been a bit of a journey, that one. I don't know if people have seen The Chosen, but the tax collector in The Chosen, there was a bit of a journey. But he knew there was something on Jesus. They knew there was something that Jesus brought. He knew that there was something different about him. And he was so curious that he ended up following Jesus. And that's the invite that I want to give today. And maybe we could close our eyes. You know, we don't have to close our eyes, but sometimes it just helps us just to focus on the moment, and we're not looking around and whatever. But I just want to put that out today. And the Bible says, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is your Lord, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, he is your Lord, and you believe in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead and he's alive today, it just simply says, you will be saved. Yeah. That's what he says. I choose to believe that. I choose to believe that in that moment when we make him Lord of our life, when we believe the story of the cross, of what I've just sort of shared with you, we believe that Jesus rose again and he's alive today, and that's in our hearts, that we will be saved. The Bible also says that he will never leave you or forsake you, and that nothing can separate from him. What an amazing promise. What an amazing promise. Jesus, I thank you for this morning. And if you're here this morning and you want to respond to that, with every eyes closed, why don't you lift your hand? And we're going to do a short prayer. And we're all going to say it together, so we're all included. But Jesus is putting the invite out this morning. Will you follow me? Now, he's not saying, you know, quit your jobs, whatever. He's just saying, will you follow me? If there's anyone here this morning, and maybe it's your first time, you want to follow Jesus, why don't you put your hand up and I'll see it. Maybe you used to be following Jesus, but you've walked away in whatever circumstance. Put your hand up. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. It's awesome, guys. Thank you. Amazing. So good. Proud of you all. Proud of you. Thank you, Jesus. You can put your hands down when I've seen it. Thank you. So proud of you. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. I'm just going to wait in this moment. If anyone else just wants to accept that invitation to follow Jesus. Got people who have already risen, raised their hands. It's just so good. Yes, thank you. Thank you. See that at the back. See that. Thank you. Awesome, guys. Jesus loves you so much. He loves you so much. The Bible says, you know, when one person comes to know Jesus, that there's a party in heaven. The angels celebrate. the angels celebrate. Why don't we just celebrate this morning? We've got like at least five people who have risen their hands. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That in heaven right now, there is a party because people are responding. People are coming back to you, oh God. Thank you for the angels that are praising your name because of what you did on this earth. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. This is the reason why I wanted to come, because I know people needed to hear that story. And I'm so proud of every single person who raised their hand. And why don't we just pray this prayer right now? Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for me. I thank you that you died on that cross. And all my sin is forgiven. No matter what. My past, my present, my future, I am clean. I thank you, Jesus. I confess with my mouth that you are my Lord. And I believe in my heart that you rose again and you're alive in heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're awesome. So good. So good. I love it. Thank you, Jesus. If we can have maybe some worship, or we can turn this up if we want, or whatever we can do. But I actually just, if we've got a bit of time, I just want to just actually just pray for people. And, you know, I spoke about the power and what the power that's in Jesus, the power that's in us, that rose Jesus, is in us. It's in all of us. And I really want to just pray for people this morning. And it doesn't matter what it is. And I really want to pray for healing. I want to pray for people's minds. And, you know, you don't have to tell me what you're going through. That's all good. Like, when Jesus walked the earth, he hardly asked